Open in your Bibles today to Exodus chapter 20. There are certain experiences in life that when they happen, they bring clarity to us. We call them defining moments. They make the truth real. A couple of defining moments in my own life in regard to this fifth commandment. The first one was 19 years ago. In a hospital in Albuquerque when my son Nathan was born, and I held that little slimy, wriggly baby in my hands, and I realized that I am going to be committed to this child for a lifetime. And such love welled up inside, I didn't really even know where it came from. But the weight of responsibility of I'm a dad, and this is my son, and the kind of sacrifice and commitment it would take, I immediately called my parents up. The first words out of my mouth, thank you, thank you, thank you. I realize the kind of commitment that you had four times with the four boys you were given. Another defining moment came about 10 years ago when it was my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, a family reunion. And my dad stood up and gave to my mom a 5-carat diamond ring. And he said, this is for every decade is a carat. We've been married 50 years, and gave her that ring. I thought, Dad, I didn't know you had it in you. That's classic. I'm sure my mom was thinking, why didn't you give me this puppy years ago so I could sport it around? But the best thing of that reunion wasn't the 5-carat diamond gift. What I told them is the greatest gift you gave to us four boys is that you stayed married for 50 years and you gave us a sense of stability. And we want to turn around and thank you and bless you for that. And we were able to honor them in that. We come to the commandment in verse 12 we're going to read and consider this morning. It's the commandment that every parent loves to quote. It's the commandment that every child hates to hear. We know it well. In fact, parents, we may not know a lot of the Bible, but we know this commandment, don't we? And I've entitled this message, Because I Said So. Those are words that parents use when their kid asks them why this and why that. And the best it seems we can come up with is, Because I Said So. I'm the parent. I get to say that. The truth is, because God said so. It's even higher authority and more grave authority than that. The commandment, honor your parents, is tested periodically as kids grow up. We know that, especially when they're in their teen years and they are trying to understand you as a parent. They don't know why you're so dumb and they're so smart and you just can't get it. Heard about a 16-year-old boy just got his driver's license, so he went to dad to discuss the use of the family car. At least he thought it was a family car. And dad said, tell you what, son, if you can bring your grades up, read your Bible more regularly, and cut your hair, we'll talk about it. Well, about a month passed, and dad came to his 16-year-old boy and said, you know, I'm really proud of you. You brought your grades right up. And I noticed you read the Bible a lot more than you used to. But that hair, you still haven't cut that hair. And the boy said, well, you know, Dad, since I've been reading the Bible a lot, I've noticed a few things. I noticed that Samson had long hair, and he was a strong man. And Absalom had long hair, and he was David's son. Moses had long hair, and even Jesus, it would seem, had long hair. And the father, seizing the opportunity, said, yes, and they walked wherever they went. Nailed him on that one. You see, the difference between walking and driving was honoring father and mother. This is the fifth commandment in the list. It is the first commandment in the table That is the second table of the law. If you remember, there are four that deal with our relationship with God, and then there are six that deal with our relationship with man. What we're going to do today is read it, and then we're going to unpack it, as we say in the literary world. Unpack the words and the meaning of this commandment, and look at three things: the scope of the command, the substance of the command, and the security of it. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. Notice the nouns in that verse. It speaks to us of the scope of the command. It's addressed to all people of the children of Israel. And the object is father and mother. Those are the first people you meet in life. Mom and dad, the first words generally spoken are either mama or dada or la la la, something else, but usually mama and dada. If you were to boil life down to its irreducible minimum, you have one thing only: relationships. Good ones or bad ones. You have a relationship with God or not, and you have relationships with people. It is then life on the vertical level and the horizontal plane. And we've even seen how the commandments are laid out that way. The first four deal Godward from man. This is my relationship to God, to have no other gods before him, to honor his name, to keep his day holy, etc. Then the last six are on the horizontal level, how I deal with other people, man to man, person to person. And that's how Jesus saw life when he was asked by one of the religious leaders, "Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment?" You remember his answer? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. But the second commandment," said Jesus, "is like unto the first, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." All of life then was boiled down to relationships, vertically and horizontally, Godward and manward. Love your neighbor as yourself. Your first neighbors in life are your parents, first people you meet. This is then the basic family relationships. Those significant others are your parents. Here's the irony, though. In that which is the most basic in life, relationships, it is in that very area where we seem to be the greatest failures. Whether it's because of insecurity or anger or neglect or insufficient teaching, in this primary area of relationships, we're weak. Easy to demonstrate that. Go to a Christian bookstore and ask them, "What sells the most? What kind of literature do you get rid of most in this store?" And they will tell you immediately, anything to do with family relationships. Ask any Christian broadcaster or Bible teacher, "What do people call your center about mostly?" And they'll say, "Relationships." Ask a counselor, "What do you deal with mostly here? Pet issues, home issues, financial issues?" No. By and large, it is relationships. Several years ago, I decided to do something different in the church I was pastoring. I asked the congregation to write on small pieces of paper questions that they had. And I was going to collect the questions and categorize them, and we would have a series on answering your questions from the Bible. Thinking that I'd get a lot of questions on the rapture of the church, the second coming, different theological issues, creationism. 95% of the questions, I was absolutely astonished, were, "How do I get along with my husband? How do I love my wife? How do I raise my children? What do I do with my parents?" They were relational issues. Now, virtually every society, historically and contemporarily, is built on the premise that it's right for children to honor and respect their parents. Even in Rome, as corrupt a culture as it was, placed a high value on honoring parents. In fact, they had a law in Rome. It was called by the Romans patria potestas, which loosely meant dad has ultimate authority. That's loosely translated. Dad has the ultimate authority, and basically, according to the Patria Potestas, a child never came of age. The father chose the career that child was to have. The father chose the wife or the husband the child was to have. Virtually made all of the decisions that came through the father. But the point is, the Romans and the Greeks knew that it is right to have in the legal system of the culture laws that govern this relationship because it's right for children to obey and honor parents. Plato even said that honor paid to one's parents comes second only to honor paid to the gods. Why is this relationship, child-parent relationship, so vital, so important? Well, for a few reasons. Reason number one, a child develops a view of himself or herself based upon that family unit. Based upon the way the parents treated that child, either in the pecking order of children or as a single child, an only child. So that a child will emerge from the home with a self-view, a self-image, based upon how that child was treated at home. Reason number two, all of the values learned in life learned at a very early age. What was important to mom and dad? Did they focus more on property and money and position, success, or spiritual things, prayer, church, the Word of God? What were the values that mom and dad held? Because those values, as we know, get transferred from generation to generation. And then third, it's important because that's where we learn respect for authority. We grow up in life in that home, understanding that certain people are to be revered, respected. When you go to school, respect your teacher. When you're out in the world, respect the government. When you go to work, respect, honor, and obey your employer. Those are the things we learn at home. Somebody even noted, as the family goes, so goes the nation. As the family goes, so goes the nation. That means then, if that's true, and I think it is, that one of the key factors in societal stability is this commandment. So if you have a whole generation that disobeys, dishonors, is flaky with how they treat their parents, you have a weak culture. Which is one reason why I'm worried. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the value that we read about in this commandment is placed high in our culture in America, honoring parents? Well, let's see. With shows like The Simpsons, Beavis and the other guy, South Park. Well, that's a far cry, isn't it, from, well, Leave It to Beaver? The Cleavers left a long time ago, folks. Ozzy and Harriet have been replaced by Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon. It's a whole new world. And every generation, every group of adults, trust me on this, from hundreds of years ago, always remark and complain that the young generation doesn't respect them. It's always been around. But it seems now it's like a national pastime to disregard and disrespect parents. So that then is the scope of this commandment. It deals with the basic unit of family relationships. Let's look at the substance of the command. We read very simply, honor your father and your mother. Now that deals with an attitude. It translates into an action, but it deals first with an attitude because the idea of honoring is to place worth or importance toward. It's the Hebrew word kabod. And it means literally to add weight to. To add weight to or to make heavy. And I found something out. The word honor, kabod, is the same word so often translated in the Old Testament for the glory of God. The glory of God, the kabod. To glorify God is to add weight to who God is with my life and my words. And so in this relationship, to honor one's parents is to esteem them, to have an opinion of them. That is, it's the attitude of attaching importance to their position in life as parents. So when mom or dad say, "Because I said so," that carries weight. That means something. Well, who are you? Well, I'm your parents. And to add esteem in regard to that is important. Now, over in the New Testament, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read to you a couple of verses in Ephesians 6. Paul the Apostle goes back to this commandment as the basis for what he is about to say. Children, he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Two different things are mentioned, obey and honor. Obey is an action, honor is an attitude. If you have the attitude of honor, it will be followed up by the action of obedience. Now, I'll tell you very honestly, I didn't always honor my mom and dad. In fact, I dishonored them on a regular basis growing up. I fought with them. I argued with them. I didn't like a lot of their commands. I got mad at them. I talked back to them. But something happened to me some years later. I got converted. I became a Christian. And you know, one of the first things that happened to me is the Holy Spirit of God dealt heavy blows of conviction on my heart with my attitude toward my parents. See, now I'm a Christian and I approach the home basically at first, well, I'm really right now because I'm saved and they're not. And the Lord told me in my heart, if you expect your parents to see any evidence of a changed life, they better see it in you, boy. And the Lord told me that I needed to humble myself before them to honor my parents. It all came to a head, at least for me, with my father, because I didn't have a great relationship early on. He was an authoritarian, and I was a teenager, and of course he was dumb because I was a teenager now, and I was so smart. And my brother died, and after his funeral on the same day, my father and I had a horrible argument. And as we were arguing, and I dug my heels in, and he dug his heels in, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Humble yourself." And I'm thinking, what do you mean, humble myself? But I went over to my father and I put my arms around him. He was stiff at the time. I put my arms around him and I said, "I'm sorry and I love you." And I started praying out loud for our relationship. That changed everything. He broke down. He started crying and he said, "That was beautiful." From that moment on, our relationship changed. And a few years later, when I stood at my father's grave and bore his casket, I had peace. And the peace that I had from making things right with my father mean more to me today than anything else in life. Honor your father and your mother. What does that imply? I'm going to give you two ideas. It implies, first of all, respect. When you address your parents or when you talk about your parents, what do you say? What words do you use? I know in high school it was popular to go, "My old man said, my old lady," and that meant parents. It was popular back then. But things in California are different than, say, down in the South. If you ever go to the South, be in for a culture shock. Because whereas in California, your parents might walk in the room and you'll say, "What's up?" That's sort of protocol, isn't it? "Hey, dude." Not in the South. You stand up and you say, "Yes, sir, no, sir." And Franklin Graham taught me, you do that. You do that when people enter the room, and you do that especially with your parents. When your parents speak, listen courteously to them. Even if you heard the spiel before, look at them and go, as if you're really interested. Because what they say may actually be important. And you should be interested in it. You know how hard that is for a child to do, especially a teenager to do? There's a transition in life that occurs in the mind of every child where at first mom and dad, they're like superheroes. That's when they're toddlers. They can do no wrong. Parents are, wow, Superman. But they turn quickly from Superman to super geek when you're a teenage person. Yeah, I can't believe they're so lame. And I remember my father giving me speeches. And I memorized them. I still have them in my head. I play the tapes over and over again. But I remember playing those tapes when he would tell me things and I'd say, oh, I know. And I'd start finishing what he was about to say. Very, very disrespectful. I'd shuffle my feet. I'd sigh. I'd go, whoa. Sort of like that boy who his father had an argument with him and he said, son, sit down. The boy stood up. No. I said, sit down. The boy was even more erect. Then the father started taking his belt off and walking toward Junior. Immediately he sat down. Father said, good. He's about to turn away and the boy said, well, Dad, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. That's disrespect. If you're still living with your parents at home, if you're still under the same roof with them, and maybe you're sitting next to them now and they're doing one of those things to you, or they may just send you this tape or CD, please take it to heart. Nothing is worse in a home than a rotten attitude that pervades. So first of all, the word implies respect. Second, it implies appreciation. Parents never get tired of hearing compliments from their kids. I love you, Dad. You're great, Mom. You're awesome. The government recently estimated that to raise a child from birth to age 18, here's the cost, $160,140. That translates to about $1 an hour. So every hour, just another dollar. They get a little bit older, $5 an hour. Pretty soon they look at you and your forehead says to them, ATM, right here. You're the ATM. And some estimate it costs up to $250,000 to raise a child from birth to 18. That doesn't include college. Add on top of that, sleepless nights, nausea from the pregnancy, concern, prayers that go into that child's life. My mother is 87 years of age. One of the reasons I came back to California is to honor her in these years of her life. She's 87. And you know what? She's a small, bent-over lady with white hair. And in my eyes, she's more beautiful today than ever. And I make sure when I see her, I tell her that. And I discovered something. Especially with women, they never get tired of hearing that. I don't care if they're 5 years old or if they're 87 years old. You are so beautiful. Oh, well, thank you. One of the quickest ways to crush a parent's spirit is to not appreciate them. One of the quickest ways to show a change in their countenance is to give any kind of word or action of appreciation. Now, I want to make a note here. If you look carefully at our verse again, it says, honor your father and your mother, not honor your father or your mother. Now, this is a note to parents. It is important, mom and dad, to have a mutual agreement on how you are going to approach that child and what disciplinary actions you're going to maintain with that child. Or else, that child's going to grow up with thoughts like, well, mom's strict, but dad's soft. So if I want to get my way, and after all, I am a human being fallen from God in the garden, we all are, then I'm going to work the system. And I know how to work the system. And I'll go here and I'll say this there. And what happens is because there isn't a consensus of approach, it makes it impossible for a child to keep this commandment. It makes it difficult. You send them mixed signals, and basically you are undermining God's work in their lives. Be together in this. Honor your father and your mother. And I always made sure with our son, if mom said it, it's law. Don't come to me to change it. Now, notice something else. It says honor. That's the requirement of the law. Honor, respect. Nothing less, nothing more. Nothing in this commandment about children. Make sure you're the best on the soccer team. Make sure you get straight A's because anything less is unacceptable in our house. Nothing here about be perfect in every way. Listen, if your children will listen to you reasonably well and show respect and do their best, be happy with that. Be happy with that and tell them that you're happy with that. Sometimes parents want to get their children to do and be what they never were able to do when they were kids. I want my son to be the student body president. Why? You barely made it in school. I want her to be the best cheerleader. Why? You didn't even make the team. And it's unfair. So having said that, then that's the scope and the substance of the command. But there's something else attached to it. I call it the security of the command. For it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. What does that mean? Simply, parents are a safeguard to their children. No, you can't play with that knife, Junior. No, sweetheart, you can't go out with the dolls in the freeway and play. That's just not good. You have lived longer. You have the sense to safeguard their decisions. Once when Lenny and I and Nathan were in Rome, and buses just go so fast on the streets of that city, Nathan would have easily many times wandered right out in the street, were it not for my restraining hand pulling him in. So live long in the land, respect and obey your parents. Solomon put it this way to his own son in Ecclesiastes or in Proverbs. He said, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days, long life, and peace they will add to you. So simply stated, you honor your parents. They're a safeguard to that child's life. Now there's another component to this though. If you're an Old Testament Bible student, you know that one of the reasons it is written this way is that to disrespect your parents in the Old Testament meant something, didn't it? The death penalty. There were several reasons why a person could be put to death, and one of them was breaking this commandment. I don't know if you knew that, but here's a couple of scriptures. Exodus 21, he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Same text, Exodus 21, goes on a few verses later. He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy 27, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. You might think, come on, do we need laws about that, hitting your parents? Oh, absolutely. I think we should resurrect some of those laws, not the death penalty necessarily, but did you know that every year in the United States of America, there are 8 million cases of children violently assaulting their parents. 8 million separate cases. I was called to do a funeral of one of these cases. It was a local mortuary years ago called me and said, we want you to do a funeral. It's very unusual. It was a young teenage boy. You're having a problem with his parents. Not only did he not honor his parents, he decided to kill his parents. And he took a sledgehammer. And he bludgeoned them both to death early one morning while they were in their bed. He buried them in the backyard. And for the next 2 days, he called all of his buddies over to have a party in that house. And I officiated at their funeral. Now that commandment that we just read was violently and inexorably broken. But the general rule is that kid who honors his parents will live long. It's not a blanket statement that children who die young are bad, or that if you're a good kid, you're guaranteed that you'll live forever and ever, 110. But the general rule is that you honor your parents, you're going to live long. In the Old Testament context, because you won't suffer the death penalty, but it just makes sense for a couple of reasons. An obedient child listens to his parents' warnings. How many times did your parents warn you to not do certain things? And then when you did them, you go, oh, I see why they told me. My parents said, don't fight in this house, boys. And if you fight, don't fight in the living room. We discovered why. Because one night, I threw my brother through the front glass window in the living room out onto the front lawn, and it cut him severely. You're thinking, oh, I don't want to know all these things about my pastor. They replaced the window. A couple weeks later, we had another fight in the same room, and my brother threw me through that same window. Life at the Heights at home. The second reason, an obedient child will avoid bad habits and bad friends that will shorten life. Don't hang out with that kid, my parents used to say. Don't drink, don't take drugs. Watch the company that you hang with. And in some cases, they were right. My parents warned me about a guy named Richard. Oh, I said, he's so cool. My mom said, I don't know what it is, but something's bad about that kid. And it was. He was eventually murdered over a bad drug deal. He was put in prison 21 times before that death. So honor your parents, you'll live long in the land. Disobedience brings consequences, and one of those consequences will be a shortened and unfulfilled life. I heard about a little girl who was disobedient to her mom, and her mom said that if she disobeys again one more time, that you're going to have to live with the consequences. And the little girl said, oh, Mommy, please don't make me go live with the consequences. I want to live here, right here with you in our home. Of course, you know what that means. So this is God's law. This is the law God put. Why should a child obey mom and dad? Parents might say, because I said so. But there's a better reason. Because God said so. It's part of God's law. And He is our heavenly Father. And Father knows best. And so the command is given. I also want to say there's no such thing as a perfect parent. So if your children, you younger ones, or if you were raised in a home and your parents abused you, or you've got all sorts of reasons why we are the way we are. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, except God. And I will say that God will do almost anything to get you into a relationship with Himself. That's what He wants. He wants to be your perfect parent, your heavenly Father. But you've got to let Him. A husband and wife had one little girl. She was 6 years of age. They were an atheistic couple. They didn't believe in God. They never took the child to church, never let the child get exposed to any of the things of the gospel. And they had a rough marriage. They had a rough home life. One evening, that man came home and had an argument with his wife, and he took out a gun and he shot her. He then turned the gun on himself and committed suicide. And to make matters worse, that little six-year-old girl watched the whole thing. She was absolutely traumatized. They took her out of that situation by the courts. They put her in foster care. The foster mother was a Christian and decided, I'm going to take this little girl to church. The first day she was brought to church, she took her to the Sunday school department and said, be easy on this girl. She's never heard about Jesus before. This is her first experience in a church in her life. In that Sunday school class, the teacher held up a picture of Jesus and said, can anybody tell me who this is? And that one little girl said, yes, I know who that is. That's the man who held me the night my parents were killed. Amazing what God will do to reveal Himself to a child, to straighten things out, even in a bad situation like that. We have a wonderful Father. We have a perfect parent. We're to honor Him. And one of the ways we honor Him is by honoring our parents. It could be that after this service, a phone call or a letter will be in order, or a visit to make things right. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it?